I live in my ideal brain, body, eyes, and ears. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. I live in my ideal body, brain, eyes, and ears. Now, why do I say that? Why do I say those four items? Well, as we are doing treatment work, we're often thinking, well, we should treat about specific things, and we should mention specific things, and we shouldn't mention specific things, because if we mention specific things, then we are being specific, and we want to be general. We want to speak about the concept rather than the unique thing, the relative thing. And here is the Absolute Philosopher talking about relative things. Well, yes. But let's dwell with him for a moment longer and find out what he's got on his mind. What is the relative brain? The relative brain is the brain that's in our body, the brain that receives and allows the infinite mind to sort of move through our experience and give us all that information. And give us all that oneness, that isness, that awareness, and that's kind of nice. Now, that's a universal concept. We're not talking about this little old physical mind, physical brain we have in our head, and yet we are. We're talking about the concept of the brain we have in our head. Not the brain itself, but the concept. Now, the concept of the brain that we have in our head is sort of like a filter. And it's a filter that allows us to receive whatever information we want when we like to receive it. Now, if I say to Ingeborg Puckert here, Ingeborg, you are a radio. And Ingeborg says, okay. And Ingeborg, on your radio, you're going to listen to what you want to listen to. Ingeborg says, well, that's cool. And on your radio, you're going to listen to jazz. You're going to listen to hot metal, you know, rock metal or hard metal. And you're going to listen to woo, you know, and loud, you know, way up in the decimals, way up, going to blast your ears out. Are you? No, she says quietly in her lips without saying anything out loud. No. Now, why is this idiot Ingeborg not going to accept everything that in the universe at any time that wants to come into her consciousness? Because she finds some things salubrious, beneficial, enjoyable, helpful, and other times she doesn't. Now, when Ingeborg is out with her young friend, and her young friend is full of spit and vinegar, and she is so happy to see him so full of spit and vinegar, and he takes her to a dance, and at that dance they have some very tough music. But Ingeborg sees him just being so happy. Ingeborg allows that music to be. Now, true, she shuts it down in her brain so that it isn't so terribly loud. But she watches him and she says, what a happy guy. Now, Ingeborg is out for a walk and she wants to get a glass of water. So she goes into a restaurant, and in the restaurant they're playing very loud hard rock music. And it just about blows her out the door before she even gets in, so she decides not to go in. There's nothing in there compelling her to go in. She can get a drink of water somewhere else. So she goes to the next restaurant, and there's nothing, silence, no music, no noise, just people talking. And she has her glass of water. And then she leaves. You see, now, why does Ingeborg think that she has so much intelligence that she can decide to go into a place that has raucous music, as long as she's going with this young man who's enjoying it and that she enjoys him? And she goes into a place that has raucous music to get a drink of water, and that's not her thing, and she doesn't go in. And she goes into a place where just conversation is quiet and gets her drink of water. Now, you see, these are all things that she is doing in her brain. Her brain could very well be told that, or telling her that she doesn't like certain sounds, that she doesn't like this and doesn't like that, and of course then that's what she would experience, because she would leave herself open to it. But now, if Ingeborg were really in charge of her brain would not lead her into any restaurant that has loud music. It would not lead her into any nightclubs with her friend who needs to have raucous music. The people around her, she would be talking to this young man, and this young man would be such a happy guy, and so friendly and so wonderful, and he's just a young fellow, you know, who's really of that age that likes everything that is, that's that age. And then Ingeborg says, you know, I have two tickets here to go to the symphony concert this afternoon. Would you like to come along? Wow, yes, symphony music is my favorite. Oh, yes, indeed, I want to go. And she didn't know that, but she did know it, because that's why she asked him, because he was able to say yes. You see, we have that intuitive awareness within us. We have that awareness that we have told to our brain what our desires and penchants are, and we follow that. Now, our universal mind is everybody's universal mind. It's available to everybody, and it can come in. Now, in the universal mind is the raucous music, and the concert is everything that you want and a lot of things you don't want. And some other people do want the things that you don't want. So that's why they're all there. They're all there to suit everyone's purpose. Now, you just dig your brain. You tell your brain, these are the filters I'm putting out. These are the magnets I'm putting out. And the magnets are magnetizing myself to go to places that have lovely music, and then demagnetizing myself from places that have not lovely music, so that I'm not attracted there. I'm not encouraged to go there. But you see, I'm not really attracted. It's all known ahead of time. It's all in the universal oneness. And I merely put the cause in motion that I like certain things and I don't like other things. Now, isn't it interesting? Ingeborg goes into a restaurant and she sits down and says, I'd like to have some scrambled eggs. And so the waiter comes out in an ordinary restaurant. The waiter comes out and says, oh, did I do the wrong thing? And Ingeborg said, what did you do? I put salsa sauce on your eggs, you know. I put this wonderful salsa sauce on there. Ingeborg says, oh boy, no, you did the right thing. Oh, that is great. I would really like that. I'd never thought of asking it, but yes, I'll take that, you know. And the waiter says, good, you know. And so, now, did that happen by chance?
No, she thought it.
It was in her thought. It was in her mind that she likes salsa sauce. It's in her mind that she likes scrambled eggs. And she really hadn't put the two together. But her mind had, as a very delightful breakfast. And so she got it. Now, why did this all happen? This is because our mind knows what we have in mind. Now, another Ingeborg idea here. Here she is. She's in the car. And we're driving down the freeway. And we're driving very rapidly. And Ingeborg says, aren't we going over the speed limit quite a bit? And I say, yep. And she says, I like it when we drive the speed limit. So we drive the speed limit. And then another day, we're driving in town, and we're taking Poinsettia in to have a baby. She's in a rush to go to the hospital and have a baby. And so we're driving very rapidly. And so Ingeborg says, can't you go any faster? It's either all based upon the conditions that are being experienced. Now, the brain acclimates, understands, works harmoniously with all these things. Now, that's the same thing. The brain takes out of the universal allness that which is beneficial for it to experience. It's a filter. And we have to be careful that we don't make it so much of a filter that it filters out things like, I know that I know that I know. Filters out the things that are all there waiting for us to utilize it. And so that's why it's an absolute concept. Because the absolute concept is a perfect, harmonious flow of what is in the divine pattern for us. Now, what's the divine pattern for us? The allness. The allness. Now, with the allness, still comes the choice. Still comes the choice. Because why aren't you a great scientist? Why aren't you a great musician? Why aren't you a great tennis player? You know, why aren't you all these things? You know, why aren't you? Because it's not your choice. Now, out of the universal allness, you choose that aspect. Now, that's our mind. Now, our body, the same thing. Our body is ideal. Our body is ideal. Now, do you want your ideal body? Basically, no. Because the ideal body is something that does not have any sensitivity. The ideal body does not know hot and cold. The ideal body does not know the need for anything. The ideal body does not want food or doesn't not want food or air or whatever. The ideal body exists as a concept, and it has no need for food. It has no need for air. It has no need for water. It has no need for anything like that. That's the ideal body. Now, do you really want the ideal body at this point in your thinking? And the idea is no. Because you want the human body. And so long as you want the human body, then you're going to have the human body. But when you say, I live in my ideal brain, body, eyes and ears, then you're going to live in that non-relative aspect, which is kind of exciting and kind of boring. Because you're not sensitive to anything, you understand? You're not sensitive. Okay, now, our body, we've disposed of that very easily by saying it's perfect. It needs no water, it needs no air, it needs no food, needs no assimilation or elimination of anything because nothing's going through. And it really needs no atoms, even though we say it's all atoms. Because it is a concept. And a concept is not made up of atoms. Okay, now. Now, why do I say eyes and ears? Because those are two avenues on which we interpret the universe around us. Now, with our ears, do we hear the perfect sound of the universe? Are we always living in perfect harmony? Not music, but in perfect harmony. Are we always living in perfect harmony with everything that is made aware to us by our ears? Is it always harmonious? And you see, that's the ideal. The ideal is the perfect harmony. And none of us have any capacity to know in our human state perfect harmony, but we know what it means. We know the direction that it goes. And perfect sight. What do you see? If you have perfect eyes, if you have perfect sight, you see everything as you choose to have it be. You see a forest fire burning down a forest. You see a forest fire burning down a forest so that the big redwood trees can have their seeds pop open, because it needs to have a fire to do that. Or you have someone come along with a little blowtorch gun, you know, and go to each little seed, bloop, good morning, bloop, good morning, and have it pop open, you see? Because the seeds are locked in there until the right things come along to do that. The right things, you see, you have the wisdom to perceive all those things. Now, the universal mind encompasses all these things. How do you make your blood flow? You know, how do you make your lymph glands flow? How do you make your eyes see? How do you make your ears hear? How do you make your tongue touch, taste, you know? How do you do that? How do you do that? It's magic. It's pure magic. I mean, and it's all done electrically up here in the brain. And there's nothing electrical in the brain, but yet it's all electrical. It's all pure energy. We live in such a fabulous world, in such a fabulous universe, and we think by our primitive observation of it that that's what it is. And that's only our primitive observation of it. A little child doesn't know that he can't have it. He just thinks he wants it, and he gets it. You know? He might not get it like we think he wants it, but you see, there is the problem. We are interpreting how he thinks, and he doesn't think that way at all. We are interpreting how a dog thinks, and a dog doesn't think that way at all. A dog only hears us say, come, and he knows that when we say come, that means he must get up from where he is and come to where we are. And that's what we teach him. Come, 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 again, again, again. And so maybe it's not even come, maybe it's a you know. And we say, oh, you're such a wonderful dog. Oh, he knows our feelings. He doesn't know what those words mean. And he doesn't really care what those words mean. And food, din din. Din din is for who? It's for the adult, not for the dog. But it makes the adult feel happy that it's serving its dog, you know, or its little dog, or trying to make its little dog be its little child or something, you know. But, you see, the universal concept has nothing to do with that. If I'm walking the path and I say to myself, Rex, come catch up with me now, and I walk on and I let it go, next thing I know, chup, there he is right by me. And if I ever worry about it, I say, whoops, I think Rex is going to run back to the house because Ingeborg's out there, Sylvia's out there, Ellen's out there. They're all driving around in the golf carts, you know. He's going to want to join them, you know. Well, then, sure enough, that's what he wants to do. But you see, they're all concepts. Mm-hmm. And when you realize I live in my ideal brain, body, eyes, and ears, BBEE, I live in my ideal brain, body, eyes, and ears. You see, it's not that those words mean the ultimate, it's that those words mean the ultimate. They point to the ultimate. They are the concepts. It's not just a concept of this little thing on the side of my head here they call an ear, or this little ball in my head they call an eye. That because you don't see with them. You don't see with your eyes. Your eyes receive reflections of the universe around it, or project out reflections, and then they're interpreted in the brain. And the brain doesn't even interpret it, you know. The brain determines that that can't be true, you know. And when it says it can't be true, it cuts it off from being true. It cuts it off from the awareness on the universal. Whereas if the brain says, wow, that's great, you know, incredulous, but it's great, and it's beautiful. But that's the incredible thing. When we can flow with the divine that we are, and this is the magic that we are, and this is the wonder that we are, and can you see why I chose those four words? They sort of reach out, and there could be many more, but they sort of reach out to the start of how we, on the universal concept, believe of concepts, believe of ideals, of imagery, you know, of symbols. These are all those simple things. And how do you work on yours? And I make the statement, I live in my ideal, brain, body, eyes, and ears. I live in my ideal brain, body, eyes, and ears. I live in my ideal brain, body, eyes, and ears. And you see, the reason that I put the four words in there, which are interesting too, is it makes you stop and think. I live in my ideal brain, I live in my ideal brain, I live in my ideal brain, I live in my ideal brain. Pretty soon, it's just a mantra that becomes meaningless, and it has a value. But when you say my ideal brain, body, eyes, and ears, every time you say brain, now you're thinking, is that my physical brain? What? My body, that the physical body that we have, eyes and ears. Or are these all symbols? Are these all icons? You know? And truly, that's what they are. And they're kind of wonderful. So, I live in my ideal brain, body, eyes, and ears. I live in my ideal brain, body, eyes, and ears. Say this as a little mantra for you for a couple hundred thousand times. And watch how your interpretation of what your brain, body, eyes, and ears are doing does. Because your interpretation changes. Mm-hmm. You're no longer thinking of it as a physical, physiological object. You are thinking of it as a not a mental object even, but as a concept. A concept which is untouched by changeability. And that's a beautiful thing to do. And that's what your immortality is. And you are immortal. Have a lovely morning, and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.